As you said, we're going to be continuing our series in Ezekiel this morning, and we're looking at chapters 12 to 14. But I'm going to start the reading at verse 17. So that's Ezekiel chapter 12, starting at verse 17. If you're using a church Bible, that can be found on page 839. Starting then at verse 17. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, tremble as you eat your food, and shudder in fear as you drink your water. Say to the people of the land, this is what the sovereign Lord says about those living in Jerusalem and in the land of Israel. They will eat their food in anxiety and drink their water in despair, for their land will be stripped of everything in it, because of the violence of all those who live there. The inhabited towns will be laid waste, and the land will be desolate. Then you will know that I am the Lord. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, what is this proverb I have in the land of Israel? The days go by, and every vision comes to nothing. Say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I am going to put an end to this proverb, and they will no longer quote it in Israel. Say to them, the days are near when every vision will be fulfilled, for there will be no more false visions or flattering divinations among the people of Israel. But I, the Lord, will speak what I will, and it shall be fulfilled without delay. For in your days, you rebellious house, I will fill whatever I say, declares the sovereign Lord. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, the house of Israel is saying, the vision he sees is for many years from now, and he prophesies about the distant future. Therefore say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. None of my words will be delayed any longer. Whatever I say will be fulfilled, declares the sovereign Lord.
The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel, who are now prophesying. Say to those who prophesy out of their own imagination, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to the foolish prophets who follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. Your prophets, O Israel, are like jackals among ruins. You have not gone up to the breaks in the wall to repair it for the house of Israel, so that it will stand firm in the battle on the day of the Lord. Their visions are false, and their divinations a lie. They say, the Lord declares, when the Lord has not sent them. Yet they expect their words to be fulfilled. Have you not seen false visions and uttered lying divinations when you say, the Lord declares, though I have not spoken? Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Because of your false words and lying visions, I am against you, declares the sovereign Lord. My hand will be against the prophets who see false visions and utter lying divinations. They will not belong to the council of my people or be listed in the records of the house of Israel, nor will they enter the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the sovereign Lord. Because they lead my people astray, saying peace when there is no peace, and because when a flimsy wall is built, they cover it with whitewash. Therefore, tell those who cover it with whitewash that it is going to fall. Rain will come in torrents, and I will send hailstones hurtling down, and violent winds will burst forth. When the wall collapses, will people not ask you, where is the whitewash you covered it with? Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says. In my wrath I will unleash a violent wind, and in my anger hailstones and torrents of rain will fall with destructive fury. I will tear down the wall you have covered with whitewash and will level it to the ground so that its foundations will be laid bare. When it falls, you will be destroyed in it, and you will know that I am the Lord. So I will spend my wrath against the wall and against those who covered it with whitewash. I will say to you, the wall is gone, and so are those who whitewashed it, those prophets of Israel who prophesied to Jerusalem and saw visions of peace for her when there was no peace, declares the sovereign Lord. Now, son of man, set your face against the daughters of your people who prophesy out of their own imagination. prophesy against them and say, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Woe to the women who sew magic charms on all their wrists and make veils of various lengths for their heads in order to ensnare people. Will you ensnare the lives of my people but preserve your own? You have profaned me among my people for a few handfuls of barley and scraps of bread. By lying to my people who listen to lies, you have killed those who should not have died and have spared those who should not live. Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I am against your magic charms with which you ensnare people like birds, and I will tear them from your arms. I will set free the people that you ensnare like birds. I will tear off your veils and save my people from your hands, and they will no longer fall prey to your power. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Because you disheartened the righteous with your lies, when I had brought them no grief, and because you encouraged the wicked not to turn from their evil ways and so save their lives, therefore you will no longer see false visions or practice divination. I will save my people from your hands, and then you will know that I am the Lord.
Some of the elders of Israel came to me and sat down in front of me. Then the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, these men have set up idols in their hearts and put wicked stumbling blocks before their faces. Should I let them inquire of me at all? Therefore speak to them and tell them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. When any Israel sets up idols in his heart and put a wicked stumbling block before his face, and then goes to a prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him myself in keeping with his great idolatry. I will do this to recapture the hearts of the people of Israel who have deserted me for their idols. Therefore say to the house of Israel, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, repent, turn from all your idols and renounce your detestable practices. When any Israelite or any alien living in Israel separates himself from me and sets up idols in his heart and puts a wicked stumbling block before his face and then goes to a prophet to inquire of me, I, the Lord, will answer him myself. I will set my face against that man and make him an example and a byword. I will cut him off from my people. Then you will know that I am the Lord. And if the prophet is enticed after a prophecy, I, the Lord, have enticed that prophet, and I will stretch out my hand against him and destroy him from among my people, Israel. They will bear their guilt. The prophet will be as guilty as the one who consults him. Then the people of Israel will no longer stray from me, nor will they defile themselves any more with all of their sins. They will be my people, and I will be their God, declares the Sovereign Lord. Neil.
Good morning. Let's take a moment to pray together as we come to this sobering passage today. Let's again use those words of that prayer that we sang a few moments ago. Lord Jesus, open up my eyes with truth to free me, light to chase the lies. Lord Jesus, let me meet you in your word. Amen. Joel Osteen is the minister of America's fastest growing and largest church. It's called Lakewood, and it's in Texas, in the south of the United States. Each Sunday, between 30 and 40,000 people decide to take the trip to Lakewood to come and hear him speak. Another 7 million people tune in at home on their TVs. His best-selling book, Your Best Life Now, oozes positivity, affirmation, and encouragement. Indeed, so influential has Osteen become in the US that he was even interviewed about a year and a half ago on the Larry King Show, live going right out across the United States. And I thought we'd just watch a clip of Joel Osteen being interviewed by Larry King.
Phoenix, Arizona. Hello. Hello, Larry. You're the best. And thank you, Joel, for your positive messages and your book. I'm wondering, though, why you sidestepped Larry's earlier question about how we get to heaven. The Bible clearly tells us that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light, and the only way to the Father is through him. That's not really a message of condemnation, but of truth.
Yeah, I would agree with her. I believe that.
So then a Jew is not going to heaven.
No.
I mean,
here's my thing, Larry, is I can't judge somebody's heart. You know, I don't know. Only God can look at somebody's heart. And so, I don't know. To me, it's not my business to say, you know, this one is or this one isn't. I'm just saying, here's what the Bible teaches, and I want to put my faith in, you know, in Christ. And I think it's wrong when we go around saying, you know, you're not going, you're not going, you're not going, because it's not exactly my way. I'm not going to be
involved. You believe your way.
I believe my way. I believe my way with all my heart. But
so someone who doesn't share it. Well, is wrong, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if I look at it like that. I would present my way, but I'm just going to let God be the judge of that. I mean, I don't know.
So you make no judgment on anyone?
No, but
about
I...
About atheists?
No, I just... You know what? I'm going to let God be the judge of who goes to heaven and hell. And I just, again, I present the truth. And I say it every week, you know, I believe it's a relationship with Jesus. But you know what? I'm not going to go around telling everybody else. If they don't want to believe that, that's going to be their choice. God's got to look at your own heart. God's got to look at your heart. And only God knows that.
You believe there's a place called heaven?
I believe it.
I wonder what you made of Joel under cross-examination. A lot of people obviously appreciate his ministry and his teaching. A lot of people go to listen to him every week. They drive past all the other churches on their way to Lakewood, seeking his ministry. He claims to speak on behalf of God. How did you think he did? What marks a true prophet? What marks someone out as speaking from God? How do you spot a ministry which brings the true word of God to the people of God? That's an important question, isn't it? It's a huge question if you think about it. It's an important question if you're here this morning and you wouldn't call yourself a Christian. Great to have you with us. Why should you listen to anything we have to say this morning? It's an important question if you're here as a Christian looking for a church. You're not settled at City, but you're thinking of joining a church in Birmingham. Why City Evangelical Church and not another? It's an important question if you're here as a member of the church. How can we know that together as a church we're speaking the word of God truly, and that week by week we're ministering the gospel faithfully? Who speaks for God? We've seen so far in the book that Ezekiel is a man commissioned as a prophet to speak the word of God. We saw that right at the beginning in chapters 1, 2 and 3 of Ezekiel. And in chapter 3, God gives to Ezekiel a job description by way of a title. He says, Ezekiel, you're to be a watchman, a sentry or a lookout, in other words. The role of the watchman was to provide advance warning of the coming of an enemy so that they could run for shelter. It's the Old Testament equivalent of an air raid warden charged to start the siren. And at the time of Ezekiel, the people of Israel are divided in two places. Some are already exiles in Babylon, like Ezekiel. And God sends Ezekiel to speak to them. Some of the Jews still remain in Jerusalem, and the prophet Jeremiah is speaking to them. And the message that God gives to Ezekiel and the message that God gives to Jeremiah is one and the same. Your watchmen, warn the people of God's imminent judgment. God is the one who is going to come as a warrior against Israel, because of its detestable practices. Ezekiel's role was to sound the warning. God is a God who really does hold people to account. God is a God who judges people according to their deeds. And he looks at Jerusalem and he finds people wanting. His judgment is real, it's coming soon, and it leads to death. And Ezekiel was to sound the warning to those in exile that they would know and understand that the Lord God is a God of righteousness and justice and would come to judge. And God sends Ezekiel to call the people in exile to repentance and faith in the one true God. You see, those in exile are no better than those in Jerusalem. But if they will listen to Ezekiel and learn, then the Lord would return them and restore them to the land. Imagine how it must have felt to have been in exile, 1,000 miles or so from home, a slave labourer, day in, day out being mocked by the Babylonians. Psalm 137 reminds us just exactly what that would have felt like. By the rivers of Babylon, we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion, for there our captors asked us for songs. Our tormentors demanded songs of joy. They said, sing one of the songs of Zion for us. How can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a foreign land? And it's to this dejected, demoralized community that Ezekiel is ministering the word of God. But he's speaking to them words that they didn't want to hear. He's not sent at this stage in his ministry to comfort them, but to warn them that there is a judgment still to come, a greater judgment that will soon fall on Jerusalem when the city will be destroyed along with the temple. And so as we read Ezekiel and our passage this morning, we discover that God has, in his mercy and grace, sent his true prophets to speak the word of God to the people. But at the same time, there are others, both in Jerusalem and amongst those in exile, who are speaking alternative messages. There are other voices claiming to represent God and to speak on his behalf, and their message seemed to be a whole lot more acceptable. If you close your Bible, turn back to Ezekiel chapter 13. And we're going to just read parts of that as we look at this passage together. Look with me at verses 2 and 3. Son of man, the Lord says, prophesy against the prophets of Israel who are now prophesying. Say to those who prophesy out of their own imagination, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to the foolish prophets who follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. See, there's a danger of the people being deceived by false prophets. Ezekiel is ministering the word of God, commissioned by God, but other false prophets are speaking out of their own imagination. And God wants Ezekiel to prophesy against them. Speak out, God says, against those who claim to speak for me. Denounce those who even in the church say, hear the word of the Lord, when in fact, verse 3, they're following their own spirits and have seen nothing. Verse 6, their visions are false and their divinations a lie. They claim to speak for God, but it's deception and lies all the way. And a few verses on in the chapter, Ezekiel is told to speak out against the prophetesses. Now, it's not clear exactly what these women were teaching, but they're daughters of Israel. Look with me at verse 17. Now, son of man, set your face against them. Set your face against the daughters of your people who prophesy out of their own imagination. Prophesy against them and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to the women who sew magic charms on all their wrists and make veils of various lengths for their heads in order to ensnare people. Will you ensnare the lives of my people, but preserve your own? Their ministry sounds very contemporary, doesn't it? As they tie magic charms around their wrists, it sounds a little bit like Madonna and Kabbalah and everything associated with that, tying her red band around her wrist to protect her. These women were tying magic bands around their wrists, amulets around their necks, and selling their trade as prophets. They claimed to speak for God, but they were in it for the money, for a little bit of barley and bread. They were willing to make up things that people wanted to hear to satisfy their needs. And here's why this matters. Why God calls on Ezekiel to testify and to speak out against false prophets. It's because their message is a deadly one. Verse 10, they lead my people astray. That word there can be translated, they seduce my people. Verse 20, they ensnare people like hunters catching birds in a trap. When people claim to speak for God and they don't, it can be deadly. What then is their message? Well, at the very same time that Ezekiel is being faithful to his message as a watchman warning of judgment, we're told in verse 10 exactly what the false prophets are spinning instead. They lead my people astray, saying peace when there is no peace. How cruel to mislead people in such a way. To offer them a false hope and false security that God won't judge Jerusalem. God couldn't possibly come in judgment. There will be peace. It'd be like a cancer surgeon telling a desperately ill patient in need of urgent treatment, not to worry, I've just given you the all clear. Thanks for the box of chocolates. On your way. I think we'd call that criminal negligence, wouldn't we? The Lord says to Ezekiel in verse 5 that Israel is like a wall that is about to collapse. It's structurally unsound and breaking apart. But what are the prophets doing in Jerusalem? Rather than calling on people to rebuild it, the prophets are papering over the cracks. They're using polyfiller. They whitewash the walls to give the misleading impression that all is well. That everything is rosy in Jerusalem as they whitewash these walls that are about to collapse in destruction. When God's judgment comes, the walls will collapse, taking all these false prophets with them and all who follow their lies. Well, how do you spot a true prophet of God? Well, it seems to me from Ezekiel that the true prophet of God speaks only what God has given them to speak, and not the foolish thoughts of their own imaginations. The role of the minister is to speak the word of God. I hope you haven't come here this morning to hear what I've got to say. My role can only be to point you to the word of God. I've got nothing to say to you this morning. Only to speak the word of God to you. And for that we need our Bibles open and our brains engaged. Is what Neil is saying true to God's word? Can I find it in what we're looking at together? And equally important, is he leaving anything out? Is it the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Or is it a little bit of spin with a verse here and a verse there to make you think this is what God is saying when it's not? You see, it's possible to deceive by distorting the truth, and it's possible to deceive by leaving the truth out. That's why at City Church we like to preach through whole books of the Bible. It's hard work, isn't it, going through Ezekiel week after week after week. It's not exactly very enjoyable. But it's so important we don't leave God's word out. We can't duck that responsibility. And can I encourage you to test what we're saying by thinking in advance what's going to be said? You've got your new amended quarter cards. Why not take them away so that you know exactly what we're going to be looking at next week? Will you pray for the preacher that he will be faithful to God's word in this coming week? Will you please pray for us as we prepare to speak God's word? And will you read it in advance and think about it? If you share a house with friends who come here, why not read it together and just have a quick chat about it before you come out? Or pray with your family as you think about sitting under God's word together. Can I invite you to stay on after the service today for lunch and the Lord's Supper, where there'll be an opportunity to ask any question you like about the passage that we've been thinking about? The Bereans in Acts chapter 17 verse 11 were commended by Luke. Why? Because they examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Do you like that? Oh, that's great, isn't it? Here's a man claiming to speak the word of God. What did the Bereans do? They examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Show me where you get that in the Bible, please, Paul. As a church, you see, we have been given a ministry to take to the world. We, like Ezekiel, are watchmen. Paul has said, and Jesus himself, of course, said that there is a day of judgment still to come. A day when God will hold the whole world to account. Paul, in Romans 2, verse 6, we're going to look at it in home groups this week, Paul describes it as the day of God's wrath. It's not very politically correct, is it? But that day is soon coming, Paul says. And people need to be ready. We need to sound the alarm. That was the message given to Ezekiel, and that is the message given to us. And I guess that was what was so sad, just watching that video clip a few minutes ago as we looked at Joel Osteen. I mean, here's a man who week in, week out is speaking in front of millions of people. I can't think he was just tongue-tied. He knows what he's about. He's a skilled communicator and orator. He shouldn't have been fazed by Larry King. Those questions, we've all had those questions, haven't we? 1,000 times. Here's a man with the largest church in America, seemingly 45 times in the whole interview, he says, I don't know. If you watch the whole thing, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. 45 times. It takes courage and bravery to be a watchman, to warn people of judgment. But the true prophet of God will do it, just as the Lord Jesus Christ, the one true great prophet, did. Peter, on trial before the leaders in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 4, said this: salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which they must be saved. When the leaders saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled and ordinary men, they were astonished and took note that these men had been with Jesus. Do you see? When they saw the courage of Peter and John, what they were willing to say when on trial potentially for their lives, there is no name given to men by which they might be saved other than the Lord Jesus Christ. That wasn't the message that came through that video, was it? He seemed to be deliberately avoiding and evading Larry King's questions. Now, our role isn't to condemn people, but it is to warn and urge people to turn to Jesus Christ for salvation. We speak as the Lord Jesus Christ did himself over Jerusalem, with tears in our eyes. But it's a necessary and an urgent job, and it takes courage. If you're a Christian, what will you do the next time you have an opportunity when someone says to you, oh, surely, you know, all religions are equally valid? Now, I imagine, like me, you find it hard to warn people of judgment. It's the hardest thing at all, isn't it, about talking about your Christian faith. No one finds it easy, and I guess, like me, you can look back at times where you have bottled it and you didn't say what you knew you should have said. You haven't taken the opportunity that God has provided. But in your heart of hearts, do you want to be that watchman? And by God's Spirit and the courage that He gives, will you take that next opportunity? It takes courage for us as a church to speak clearly and boldly about the exclusivity of Jesus Christ as well. It won't make us popular as a church. I don't know much about Joel Osteen. I know he apologized publicly after the interview with Larry King and his poor showing. But it's so important that we as a church speak clearly to mislead people into thinking that there's peace for them outside of Jesus Christ, that God knows their heart, and that might be an okay thing. God does know our hearts, and He tells us that's the problem, not that that makes us okay. Ultimately, it's a wicked thing to do, isn't it, to mislead people with lies and deception and deceit. Every morning I choke on my toast when thought for the day comes on, because you know before they open their mouths, as sure as day is day, that the speaker will say something along the lines of, all will be well, and all will be well, and all will be well. That there is peace, peace, when there is no peace. When the vicar on the telly says that all religions lead to God, or that God accepts you however you want to live your life, that God can't be offended by any of our behaviour. when they deny that God might be angry at sin because he loves and accepts us just as we are, that is a serious thing. And like Ezekiel, we're not only to be watchmen speaking the true message, but we must be those who confront falsehood. And no one should enjoy controversy. I don't think Ezekiel enjoyed speaking out against false prophets. But it's a necessary thing to do sometimes. Chapter 13, verse 17, "Now, son of man, set your face against the daughters of your people." Prophesy against the prophets. True prophets fulfill their role by warning of God's judgments, pointing people to Jesus, and speaking out when people tell lies about God. And God says that judgment is going to come on these false prophets. See, the horror of what Israel is doing is doubled when we take into account those verses in chapter 12 as well. Because if chapter 13 describes people who are treating the lies of men as if they were the word of God, what's going on in chapter 12 is that people are treating the word of God as if it were the lies of men. They're doing exactly the opposite. 13 is treating the lies of men as if it were the word of God. And in 12, they're talking about Ezekiel's words and true prophets who've gone before them, and they're treating the true word of God as if it were lies of men. Do you see that in verse 21 of chapter 12? "The word of the Lord came to me, son of man." What is this proverb you have in the land of Israel? "The days go by and every vision comes to nothing." Nothing's going to happen to us. The words of the prophets don't come true. And people have a proverb, and that's how they manage to take the word of God and treat it like lies of no consequence. Or verse 27, "Son of man, the house of Israel is saying, the vision he sees is for many years from now," and he prophesies about the distant future. So this word isn't for us. This isn't God's word for our generation. These things that Ezekiel say can't possibly have any relevance for us today. Do you see? Either way, by deceit and evasion, they're taking the true word of God and denying it altogether. "The days go by and every vision comes to nothing." It reminds you of those verses in 2 Peter chapter 3, doesn't it? And the scoffers who say, "Where is this day? Where is this coming that the Lord Jesus Christ has promised?" And so they dismiss the prophets and disregard the message. And Ezekiel is told to prophesy against them. Set your face against these lies. It's natural for us to want to shy away from controversy, and I think we ought to when we can. But there are times when we must speak. You might have heard that UCCF has said that it can no longer work in partnership with Spring Harvest after 14 years. Word Alive won't be happening again after this year. No doubt, as there already has been, there will be a great deal of criticism for UCCF's position. But Spring Harvest are insisting that Steve Chalk be allowed to speak if Word Alive is to continue. And the leaders of UCCF felt they were put in an impossible position because this man simply will not affirm orthodox Christian teaching about the death of Jesus Christ. He will not do so, even after repeatedly being asked to. And UCCF have just said, we must take a stand somewhere. And if Spring Harvest insists that this man will be given a platform, well, we just have to go. You see, there are times and places when stands need to be taken. Now, if you don't know anything about that issue, don't worry about it, or maybe we can talk a bit more about it over lunch. But you see, how do you spot a true prophet from a false prophet? The true prophet warns people about the coming judgment and denounces those who teach lies about God. And ultimately, the false prophets will come to nothing and true prophets will be vindicated. These false prophets, you see, with their whitewashed walls, will be destroyed. when the Lord comes in judgment. Verse 13, therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, in my wrath I will unleash a violent wind, and in my anger hailstorms and torrents of rain will fall with destructive fury. This is a picture of the Babylonians coming to smash the walls of Jerusalem and to destroy the temple. When it falls, you will be destroyed in it. And you will know that I am the Lord. So I will spend my wrath against the wall and against those who covered it with whitewash. Verse 15. You see, there is a sure and certain judgment to come, and Ezekiel will be vindicated and the false prophets destroyed. 600 years after Ezekiel, another man sent by God came with a message of warning to Israel. The Lord Jesus Christ himself came, teaching of the judgment that would soon come and calling people to repentance and faith. Jesus spoke the word of God boldly, like a true prophet. He didn't whitewash over people's sins, and he warned of what would soon take place. But as in Ezekiel's day, so in the day of Jesus, judgment came on a people who preferred to listen to false prophets, and the city was destroyed. People preferred words of peace, and like Ezekiel, Jesus was rejected by those to whom he came. But again, the word of Jesus was true, and he was vindicated. God vindicated his words in the most dramatic way by raising him to life again. So we can be in no doubt today, if we want to be sure of hearing the voice of God, that we can do so in and through the words of Jesus Christ. God has vindicated Jesus as the one true prophet. And every other person who claims to speak for God, who speaks words contrary to those which Jesus has given us, we can be sure cannot be speaking from God. Because Jesus is alive, resurrected and ascended, and at the right hand of the Father, his words are words of life and his words are true. And just at the end of Paul's ministry in 2 Timothy and chapter 3, Paul reminds all Christians that in the last days, in all the days before Jesus returns, we should expect false prophets to come. The age of the church, Paul says, will be marked by those who are lovers of themselves, lovers of money, lovers of pleasure, who seduce and ensnare weak-willed people. We must be on our guard. And as we briefly turn to chapter 14, we discover that the danger is double for Israel, because not only are there false prophets seducing and ensnaring people with lies, but we're reminded in chapter 14 that the hearts of people prefer lies to the truth. And that is why the danger is a double danger. There are false prophets who try and seduce with lies, and in chapter 14 we're told that actually people prefer lies to the truth about God. By nature, we're not neutral. We will seek after the gods who will tell us what we want to hear. And there are plenty around who will peddle those lies. So who listens to God? The danger of a divided heart. The shocking reality in chapter 14 are that the elders of Israel came to Ezekiel, sat down in front of him, just like everyone coming to church on a Sunday, claiming to want to listen to the word of the Lord from Ezekiel. But the reality is that their hearts were full of idols. Do you remember the leaders in Jerusalem were worshipping idols? We saw that in chapters 8 and 9. Even in the temple of God, there were all sorts of idols. And the people in exile were no better. Their idols were idols that were just concealed. Idols in their hearts. They were no better. They may not have been as brazen. It may have been hidden. But it was a true reality. An idol is anything that rules our hearts other than God. We become idolaters when we love or worship or serve created things rather than the Creator. And the shock of chapter 14 is that people who on the surface maybe hold orthodox beliefs, maybe they tithe their money, attend church every Sunday, maybe are even active members, well, they share their worship of God with idols. Son of man, verse 3, these men have set up idols in their hearts and put wicked stumbling blocks before their faces. Should I let them inquire of me at all? In some cultures, idolatry is dead easy to spot. You travel on holiday, you visit cultures, and you see people worshipping physical statues, kissing them and bowing down. Well, in the West, idolatry is as real, but it's just hidden in our hearts. I guess the question to ask of our culture is, what are people looking to save them instead of the true and living God? The beauty idol says, I can make you a worthwhile person. Just make the sacrifices I require. Buy the right clothes, work out at the gym, a nip and a tuck, and you will never lack friends. That's the beauty idol. The idol of career says, sacrifice your family to me, and I will give you the status that will make you powerful and successful. The idol of money says, put me before God, and you will want for nothing. Maybe that's why the ministry of Joel Osteen is so subtle and yet so dangerous, because if you visit his website, you see it's full of health and wealth and prosperity teaching, and his ministry sounds to all intents and purposes like the ministry of the true word of God. And yet, when you look a little bit more deeply, there are worrying signs. You can drive along, think you're going to worship God with an open Bible. You can give your money, and yet all of the time be worshipping pleasure, money, and self-fulfillment. And you think you're worshipping God. And Ezekiel says to the leaders of Israel in exile, you come to me, but your hearts are stuffed full of idols. You think you've come to inquire of the living God. Why should I listen to you? In our sinful nature, we will always find our hearts pursuing other gods. No wonder false prophets are never out of work or are never poor. But God sees the heart. That's what Ezekiel shows. Jeremiah says the heart is deceitful above all things. And here, before Ezekiel, these men are shown to the idolaters that they are. And verse 6, therefore say to the house of Israel, this is what the sovereign Lord says, repent, turn from your idols, and renounce all your detestable practices. Turn from your idols. Let me ask you, what are the things you turn to give you joy in life? What do you hope will deliver you from your anxieties and worries? What dreams do you long to have fulfilled, and who do you ask to make them come true? Is it God or other things? And God says, repent of your idolatry and turn to true worship of the living God. Because God is coming in judgment on idolatry. Calvin said our hearts are like factories that mass produce idols. And we're always fighting to put God in his proper place and to smash the idols of our hearts. Our passage ends, as our passage ended last week, with a note of hope. A note of sheer grace. Verse 11, then the people of Israel will no longer stray from me, nor will they defile themselves any more with all their sins. They will be my people, and I will be their God. Even though judgment is surely coming, the Lord will recapture, verse 5, the hearts of his people. And the promise of Pentecost is the gift of God's Holy Spirit, of God within us to rule over us and to help us put to death those idols of the heart. God will give us a new heart that we might no longer defile him anymore with our sins. And the hope of Ezekiel is of God through his Spirit delivering his people from their idolatry. God is able to win your heart for himself through Jesus Christ and to purify you. And one day, when we see Jesus Christ face to face, our worship of God will be true. all other competing desires will be gone, and he will have our whole hearts. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we remember that as your people we have been called to be watchmen, warning people of your judgment that will soon come. We thank you that Ezekiel was faithful to that call. We remember the Lord Jesus Christ, who supremely warned with tears in his eyes of the judgment that would come. May we not fail you in this ministry that you have given us. Help us to be true prophets who speak only the word of God. Give us courage and boldness. And also give us that desire to confound lies and to expose falsehood. Give us great wisdom and discernment as to how and when we should do that. But again, would we not be shy of speaking for you when others would mislead? And we remember that our own hearts are far from pure, that in many ways we still covet the things of this world, and we set up things that we look to satisfy us, to give us happiness or joy or security or hope other than you. But we thank you for the gift of your Spirit that will purify our hearts, and we ask that we would cooperate with him as he seeks to renew us day by day, until we will worship you as we should, before your throne for all eternity. Amen.